The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live from 1:50pm with Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Nottingham, Ludlow, Toaster and Kempton on Wednesday. Four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Yes, I'm not too bad at all. Thank you very much. Let's start with some of the racing news, and it's no surprise to see that Trev continues to dominate the racing pages. Stunning performance in the ARC when she was warm, she was keen early on, she had to race widest all the way through, and that turn of foot was still breathtaking on tacky ground as well, which I don't think has been mentioned by too many people, or maybe it has, or maybe I missed it, but all that adds together into quite an incredible performance.
Yeah, exactly. When you put into context the visual impression of her winning against all of those things, that most horses would use one of them as a plausible excuse for defeat, let alone three or four, to be honest. And that turn of foot was stunning. And the fact that not only did the sort of turn of foot carry her clear, it's not like she then weakened near the finish.
No.
And they were coming after her like you would normally expect. She was still going strong right at the end, and if anything, was still going away. And, great performance. I mean, a canny ride by Thierry Jarnet. I mean, one of the old things from growing up that I remember people used to say, that you shouldn't make your ground on the full straight because it's, in essence, peaking too soon. But Thierry Jarnet did exactly that because he was caught wide. And he thought, well, once they get into the straight itself, they're going to fan out. So he's just carried himself up round the field. Kazuna followed him through.
Yeah.
And literally, as soon as they went in line for home, he said, come on, let's go. Knowing, you know, what a blistering turn of foot. And showing great confidence in the filly as well in her biggest test. And, you know, you could arguably say that although Frankie rode her in the Prix Vermeyne, a much easier race, whether he would have had that sort of intimate confidence of her to be quite audacious, really, to make all your ground upon the full straight and then quicken fully 2.5 furlongs out from a very good field, could possibly be open to question. So good ride by Thierry Jarnet, and a great backstory as well, which has obviously been covered hugely with the Head family and that sort of thing. So, and the great news, the best news of all, is that she's going to come back next year and we could possibly see her over here, which would be even better. So, get booking those tickets for King George Day and Ascot.
Yes, it will be nice. And what you say about Frankie is interesting. He did ride her with a lot of confidence in the trial, didn't he?
As if he was clearly on the best horse by a mile in the trial, where there was that was open to debate in the ARC whether he was on the best. It turned out he would have been on the best horse, but you know, I think because Thierry Jarnet knew her so well, having rode her in the Diane, rode her in her first two races as well, I think he probably had a little bit more of an intimate knowledge of her, possibly, and therefore was a little bit more confident, audacious, whichever, to ride her the way he did. Where Frankie rode her in a race where she was the best horse, he looked after her, admittedly, so he probably knew she would have had more to give if he had asked her, but whether, you know, she probably would have won nonetheless because she was that much better than the others, but whether it have, you know, the race had unfolded in the same way would have been different, I think.
Okay. And following that, she's been compared to the Great Seabird, and she's also now sharing top spot in world rankings with Black Caviar, so very well thought of. All of a sudden.
She's beaten Orfevre, who, in my opinion, although he was beaten significantly further than he was last year, he's probably ran just as well, if not slightly better than last year, which I know sounds bizarre, but you look at the quality of horses behind him, who he and the third in Tello, they were well clear of the others, headed by Kazuna, Rule of the World, Al-Kazim, Leading Light, etc. He's ran at least as good a race as last year for me, and I wouldn't be open to persuasion about the fact that he was probably a better run as well.
I'd probably say it was, because if he'd have, well, basically, he idled away his chance, didn't he, last year?
Yeah.
And if he'd have run like that this year, he would have been beat further, so...
Yeah, that's very true.
It is a better performance. And the fact that he finished second and Intello finished third...
gives him a lot of substance.
Yeah, the horse has finished in the right place, basically. Mm. The right horse in the right place. Mm. So.
I mean, on the subject of the two Aidan O'Brien horses, Ruler of the World and Leading Light, I think they were just too slow, to be honest, because they lost their positions as they came into the straight, at which point Trev was quickening clear. Because obviously the whole field sort of, Trev quickened and they've all gone, oh God, or maybe some sort of expletive.
And sacre bleu!
Yeah, and gone after her. And... and they've just got a little bit outpaced because they're sort of proper middle distance horses, and then Rule of the World has made up some tremendous late ground in the last furlong, in the end. So him and you know, Leading Light, I think there's still both more to come personally from those. Obviously, I mean, Rule of the World's still in his first season as well. So Al-Kazim's been retired, which is probably fair enough because he's five now. So he's won his three Group Ones, and then. I think being exposed for how good he is personally in the back end of the season, I think. And the horse is out the back. I mean, wouldn't surprise me if Kazuna came back next year because, you know, obviously the horse has done well on the trip and that sort of thing. So, yeah, a lot of substance to it. Great performance. Whether you compare it to Seabird, I don't know. She's technically at the ratings better than Zarkava and Daydream, but not as good as Boz Rasham, who achieved a very high figure when she won the Champion Stakes in 96, and obviously it's all relative really, isn't it? I just enjoy it for now and hope that we see some great performances from her next year.
Okay, one horse we will not see any further performances from is the third in the arc, Intello. He has been retired, but Flincher, the other fab horse in the race, will continue.
Yeah, Flincher's only had, is it five starts? You know, he was quite impressive and obviously favourite for the arc after he won the Grand Prix de Paris, and apparently it's key around his ground. I think personally his two worst runs have been on soft ground and his best run was on decent ground, so you know, we might be seeing possibly more ambitiously campaign next year in terms of ground performance, well, ground for where we see him. Intello, disappointed they've retired Intello because I still don't think we'd seen his full potential. Obviously he was beaten in the French Guineas, won the French Derby. You know, won a just won a Group 3 at Longchamp a couple of weeks ago, and then third in the arc. All good performances and a nice, but whether it represents, you know, a horse that for me is worthy of going. He was I don't think he's achieved his full potential, put it that way. So therefore, if it was in my ownership, I think, well, he hasn't achieved his full potential. I think we can do better. And we'll bring him back next year. Especially as well, because the owners have got a history of keeping horses in training as well, in fairness to them. Obviously, I mean, Goldakova kept going for years and years and years. And arguably, I'd want to breed more from her than I would from the stallion because...
I can see where they come from. I mean, you knew that Goldakova was something special and she would keep bringing it. With Intello, like you say, he's won a Group 3 and he's won the Derby. He's finished placed in the arc. So if they think... there isn't much more to come from him.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I mean, look at Camelot. He would have been worth a fortune after his 3-year-old campaign.
Yeah,
And then come back as a 4-year-old, and he's almost ruined his reputation a little bit, hasn't he?
So, and he's going to run in the Champions Stakes. He's got a chance to redeem himself at Ascot next week. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of the things, and I know people go on about it a lot. It's just one of the things that gripes me with the flat, obviously. We won't get to see him again. And in turn, I don't think he achieved his full potential. So, you know, and I'd like to see him do that. So that's just a personal view. But obviously, I'm sure you never know. We might get an Intello Cross Goldakova doddling about in a few years' time.
That'd be all right, wouldn't it?
I suppose.
On paper.
Yeah, it'd be all right. Buy a French Derby winner out of Goldakova.
Exactly. See, that's what you can say.
You're not going to sniff too much, are you?
That's what you're going to say. It
could be a French Derby winner and a King George winner and an Eclipse winner and a five-time Group 1 winner.
Or it could be a French Derby winner stuffed every race as a four-year-old.
That's true. But he'll still be a French Derby winner. You can never take that away from him.
No, you can't.
You could still say he's a French Derby winner, even if he never won again.
Yeah. It just takes...
I understand what you're saying.
There's arguments for both sides.
There is. Yeah. I don't have these problems with jump racing.
No. What a great link. We have jump racing on Wednesday well. We're going to look at some of that. The meetings are Ludlow and Toaster over jumps, Nottingham on the flat, and Kempton on the all-weather. So a bit of something for everybody on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We're going to look at Ludlow. The 240 at Ludlow is the first you've picked out. It's a mare's novices hurdle over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. And where do you want to start here, Mr. Stephen Powell?
Well, I'm going to start with what's been sort of, you know, put in as the possible favourite for the race, which is number 3, Kathleen Francis, who is trained by Ali Brewer and the mount of Jack Doyle. And if you just look through at her form, she was second last time out at Bellewstown, which was an okay run. She was fourth at Galway, fifth at Kilbeggan. She'll be racing throughout the summer in Ireland. She also ran on the flat over here when she's trained by Mark Tompkins. And she's all right, she's okay, but she's nothing special for me at all, yeah. Kathleen Francis. And I think that, you know, she's sort of coming here off a bit of form in Ireland, new trainer, and she'll probably run well, but I don't think she's going to win personally. The one that I like is number 7, The Road Ahead, who's trained by Peter Bowen and the mount of Tom O'Brien. Been off the course for 101 days, only had 5 starts, this daughter of Grape Tree Road. She won a bumper 2 starts ago, which was her 4th start in that sphere at Market Raisin, which was a mare's race, and she ran on well. And then she turned out a month later and made her first start over hurdles in a maiden hurdle at Uttoxeter. She was 2nd on that occasion of 11, albeit beaten 23 lengths by Let's Be Avenue. But it wasn't against her own sex, it was open company. And Let's Be Avenue's gone on and won several races since then, including last time out at Stratford when he defied top weight to win comfortably off a mark of 129. So, you know, I know it was her first start over hurdles against open company, and I think with that experience, in against her own sex, in what's not a very good race, to be honest, none of them have got much form really outside of Kathleen Francis and maybe presenting me, but what form she's got isn't all that good, I don't think, personally. And I just think there's a bit of potential there, a bit of room for improvement, and I think that might carry her past to Kathleen Francis, because we kind of know where she's at.
Okay, the road ahead then in the 240 at Ludlow. The 310 is the next race we're going to look at. It's a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong. And Savant Bleu, what do you make of what's likely to be up there near the top of the betting?
Yeah, he had a bit of a mixed start to his career over fences. He ran really well on his chasing debut here this time last year. Then he fell next time out, and then he was 3rd. Then he had a bit of a break, and he won at Newbury, I think it was. And then he pulled up and then he won. So he's a bit hit and miss.
Yeah.
He does run well fresh, although he's never won first time out. He does go well after a break. And I think the trip will suit him. But Kim Bailey's Yard are in good form. But I think he might come on for the run a little bit. I just think that there's a few of these who've been running already. He, and in fact the horse I'm going to go for, the only two have had a layoff. I think he's a horse who's better with a run, to be honest. And I think that'll be enough to sort of put me off him. Albeit that Kim Bailey's Yard are in form, and Jason Maguire is, you know, one of my probably sort of favourite National Hunt jockeys. Of the others, Buck Mulligan is very in and out. I mean, he was tailed off, albeit in a good race 11 days ago at Market Raisin, but his form is not very inspiring. Coot Hill, I don't think, has achieved the potential over fences that we thought he might. Inside Dealer was 2nd last time out over 3.25 miles at Newton Abbott. His previous win before that was 3.5 miles at Stratford. So I don't think this 3-mile 1 at Ludlow will be a stiff enough test for him. Rocketeer won well at Market Raisin last time, and I wouldn't hold anything against him personally. I think a repeat of that would see him involved, although he's got to prove his stamina for this trip. And then we get to the one that I fancy, who's number 7, Imperial Circus, who's trained by Philip Hobbs and the mount of Richard Johnson. He's only rated 118, which I think undervalues how good he might be. He was 2nd in a good handicap chase, what was only his 2nd start over fences at Sandown last season. Continued with a good effort really throughout as a novice in open handicap company, and rounded off with a 5th over 3.5 miles at Cheltenham, which I don't think he quite saw out. He has won first time out before, Imperial Circus. Philip Hobbs' horses are running okay, and I just think, again, similar to the first race, he's got a bit of potential, a bit more to possibly come. And as I say, he goes well fresh, so I think that might see a good run from him against some of the others for the reasons I've outlined.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I don't think he did. I don't think he stayed at Cheltenham, like you said.
No. But he still didn't disgrace himself,
yeah,
exactly, either.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been much closer, wouldn't he?
So. He only got passed on the flat by... he would have been 3rd. He only got passed really on the flat by a couple of horses.
Yeah, and he wasn't flew out at the last either, just tired legs, not getting him over it.
So,
now. Yeah.
I think, you know, there might be a bit more to come from him and the others, as I say. Again, in a similar way to the first race, we know where they are, we know what their sort of positives and negatives are, and I think he's sort of inexperienced or... not inexperienced, because he has had six runs over fences, but he's sort of...
Potential.
Yeah. Outweighs a lot of the positives from some of the others.
Okay, the final race we're going to look at is the 4:10 at Ludlow. I can't say Ludlow anymore now. You made me paranoid about it.
The Shropshire venue.
Yes. Oh, I like that, yes. The 4:10 at Ludlow, the Shropshire venue, is a Class 3 handicap chase. This one is over 2.5 miles. And Defeatus Dream, is it? I've never known really how to say that.
I've said Defeatus, but yeah. I don't actually know the correct pronunciation. Okay. So.
Well, the Irish bred horse at the top of the weights, trained by Evan Williams, Paul Maloney in the saddle, arrives here in better form than most.
Yeah, he does. Albeit that, you know, he's been winning a couple of easier races, hasn't he? I mean, he won very easily in a novice chase last time in Newton Abbot, but it was a non-event really because the opposition went up to a great deal. He was beaten before that in Handicap Company at Foss Lass.
It was a better handicap than this, though.
It was a much better handicap in this, I agree. Before that, again, he won at Newton Abbot in a novice event. I mean, he's had quite a few starts over fences by now. I mean, this is going to be his sixth start over fences at Ludlow. I think he's just all right. I don't think he's going to be a very good sort of outstanding novice. I think he's okay. Whether he can win off a mark of 130, I don't know. Because, again, the others had good, you know, some of the ones who were having their first start over fences. He's got a bit of good hurdles form and bred to be chasers, and I think they might just be better than him, to be honest. I think he's been running during the summer to mop up some of the early prizes. And as you get with a lot of the summer jumpers, as the better horses start coming out, they tend to start struggling. So... he might get away with it once more tomorrow, but I think it's unlikely. And also, I don't think the triple is that great for him either. 2.5 when he's been winning over 2. I think he likes a nice, easy, decent ground 2-mile chase. The opposition, Agent Archie, had some very good form as a novice chaser, as a novice hurdler, but he's gone completely off the boil. Yeah. Not bred to be a chaser either, particularly. And although I'm a great fan of Donald McCain, I'm not a great fan of Agent Archie. The three horses I do like, and 3 Kilmacowan, 4 Bucking the Trend, and 5 Woodbank. Kilmacowan, a decent novice hurdle at Warwick a couple of seasons ago, and then was placed in a couple of good races over hurdles. He was 5th on his chase debut at Huntingdon when he slipped and sort of slithered along the ground, so you can kind of forgive him that.
Yeah.
And then he was 7th in a jumper's bumper the last time you saw him, so you just forget that ever happened, really, because it's sort of irrelevant to this. What does concern me, that win at Warwick, his best ever performance was over 3 miles and 1 furlongs on soft ground, which is the opposite to what he gets at Ludlow. She's 2.5 on good to firm, and I think he might just get taken off his feet a little bit, possibly, especially with the quicker ground, to be honest. So I do like him, and I think there's potential for him to be a decent staying handicap novice as the season goes on, but whether tomorrow will be the day, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Bucking the Trend, another one who had some pretty decent form, winning a couple of novice hurdles last season. I mean, you can forgive him or forget his last run. He was 8th in the Albert Bartlett, beaten 44 lengths behind at Fisher's Cross. But Tim Vaughan's not in great form at the moment. His horses aren't running all that well, so that kind of puts me off him a little bit. And then we get to number 5, Woodbank, who's a horse who was a winner 2 starts ago. Woodbank, he's been off the course for 509 days. That win came over 2 miles at Kempton in a novice's hurdle. Just the one run last season, which is again in a novice's hurdle at Aintree. Wasn't beaten that far in what was a decent little event for the time of year. And he's bred to... Well, he's got a very bizarre pedigree because he's Dan Potter's Gale... was a bumper hurdle and chase winner in the 90s. I mean, she ran in the Arkell. I mean, she was well beaten, but she ran in the Arkell at Cheltenham. But his sire, Needwood Blade, was a sprinter. So it's a very bizarre pedigree. I mean, he did win over 9 furlongs in America, but it is unusual. But I'm a great believer that the majority of horses get their sort of stamina from the dam side of their family.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that going for chasing decent ground... and sort of like a quick 2.5 miles, you can sort of draw on his sire a little bit, and the jumping you can draw from his dam a little bit.
Okay.
He's been off for a long time, and whether he's whether he's good enough, to be honest, is a question. But he gets a lot of weight being a handicap here off some of the others. And I just think for him, might be his day. He might win this, but not really to turn out to be any good. Where I think bucking the trend and Kilmacoa might be all right, but tomorrow's not their day.
Okay.
It's very tricky because I like all three in their own way. I'm just going to side with Woodbank. Definitely one of those three will win, but it will be, hopefully, will be Woodbank.
Okay, Woodbank.
But I think the other two in time will be better.
Keep an eye on them, yeah.
Yeah, so like I say, Kilmacoa in his best forms, best ever performances on soft ground over further, so I think they probably just want him to have a nice jump round after the incident at Huntingdon when he slipped and whatever, first time over fences. And booking the trend, I mean, he might be, even though the yard for me aren't in form, he might be good enough to win anyway. In which sense you could probably upgrade the performance because he's winning when the yards, you know, aren't having that many winners. But enough to put me off to go with Woodbank. Nicky Henderson never has problems with horses first time out, does he?
Not really.
Hundreds of first time out winners, whether it be bumpers, hurdles or fences. So that's enough to sway me, hopefully.
Okay, let's have a summary then, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, in good little card at Ludlow on Wednesday, and they put up a lot of prize money as well. Mayor's and obviously Sirdle, I'm going to go with the Road Ahead, who I think certainly had one start over hurdles and was behind a good horse and back against her own six. I think she can go well. In the 3.10, a good little handicap chase. I think Imperial Circus might have a bit more potential than one or two of the others and probably will go better fresh. In the 4.10 at Ludlow, a very tight race, and I think Kilmacoen and Bucking the Trend will be nice horses with a bit of time, but I think for tomorrow Woodbank might be the one.
Okay, good stuff, Stephen. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Enjoy it on Wednesday.
I will, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell then on Wednesday's racing at Ludlow. You'll hear the action from there, and Nottingham and Toaster in the afternoon, and Kempton in the evening. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 PM with Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Mark Slater. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.